Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. Mark 8, verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the Gospel's, the same shall save it. And our subject this evening is the cross leads to the crown. Well, we continue in our studies through this gospel, the gospel according to Mark, and God willing, we will reach the end of chapter 8 this evening. And as you may recall, last week we saw Simon Peter rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ for speaking openly about the cross and about him going to the cross. This talk about the Lord suffering and dying, Peter did not like, and he rebuked the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he rebuked him and said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Christ identified Satan's influence over Simon Peter in this particular instance and this particular moment. And we noted last week that Satan, of course, hates the cross. And he hates what the cross means. What does the cross mean? Well, the cross means free forgiveness, full atonement, everlasting life for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in what he has done at the cross, the cleansing of all our sin by the blood of Christ. That's what the cross means. And Satan, of course, hates that. He hates that idea. He hates the fact that so many will be saved. He hates the way of salvation. And so he tempts Simon Peter. "Stop him, Simon. Rebuke him, Simon." But Christ can see the work of Satan. He is not blind to Satan's devices. And so that is why he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But a great part of, one of the reasons why Simon fell into this temptation to rebuke the Lord and to try to stop him going to the cross was because Simon Peter, like most of the other disciples, had this idea, which was a very wrong idea, that the Christ, the Messiah, will have an earthly kingdom, that he would be an earthly king, that he would elevate Israel. Israel would overcome all of her enemies, overcome the Romans. Israel would be the foremost nation in the entire world. Christ would be the king, of course, the divine king on earth, and all his apostles would be directly underneath him, the apostles sharing in his earthly glory. So this idea of Christ dying on the cross did not fit into Simon Peter's idea of who Christ would be, even though it should have fitted into Simon Peter's idea, because that was the biblical Christ. The biblical Christ must go to the cross. But Simon Peter's idea of who Christ was entirely different. But he had this earthly idea, this earthly kingdom. Christ will be an earthly king. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he has rebuked Simon Peter. And now he is going to show to Simon Peter and to the rest of the disciples exactly what it does mean to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean earthly glory, earthly prowess and pride. What it means is that, we read what it means in verse 34, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This is the opposite of what Simon Peter has thought that Christ will do and what the apostles will do. But this is the truth. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The disciples are called to deny themselves. Christian people, we are called to deny ourselves. This is very different to the way of the world, what the world teaches. The world does not teach deny yourself. The world teaches indulge yourself, exalt yourself, express yourself. That's what the world teaches. Don't deny yourself. That's bad for you, some people say. If you deny yourself, that's almost immoral to deny yourself. The world teaches us that you should never deny yourself. Give full expression to yourself, to your passions, to your desires. Just let yourself go. Don't deny yourself. But Christian teaching is the opposite. It's the opposite of what the world says. It is deny yourself. Deny the glorification of yourself. Deny the expression of your passions and your lusts. Deny those carnal, worldly ambitions that you may have. Deny yourself and follow Christ. You must follow him. This is what Christians are called to. And this is a hallmark of faith. This is a feature of faith. We read about this even in that great chapter on faith, which we've all been studying recently, Hebrews 11. You don't have to turn to it, but I just turn to Hebrews 11, and particularly that passage on Moses, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses denied himself, a man of faith. How was his faith seen? He denied himself. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. That's denying yourself, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses, a man of faith, and his faith was expressed in self-denial. And even Abraham, that verse that we know very well, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's a self-denial on the part of Abraham. Abraham did not say to himself, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere until I know exactly where I am going and what's in it for me. No, he denied himself. He went out not knowing whither he went. He denied himself that carnal assurance. That's faith. Faith, really, one of the definitions of faith that you could give, faith is an act of self-denial. Faith is defined by self-denial, because when you have faith, you're looking entirely to the Lord and not to yourself. Faith looks to the Lord. Yourself, you don't have anything to do with it. When we are saved, well, we look to the Lord's righteousness. Nothing from yourself. You deny yourself, your own works, your good works. That's absolutely nothing. Faith looks to the Lord and his righteousness. Faith, by definition, is an act of self-denial. I am nothing, Christ is everything. So faith, saving faith, is self-denial. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now the cross, taking up the cross, was something very challenging for the disciples, no doubt, to hear, and it's challenging for us to hear. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. The cross, to put it crudely, was a place of execution. One would die upon the cross. And that, of course, is how we are saved again, how one defines a born-again believer, a born-again Christian. One who is born again has died first. They haven't died physically, of course, but they have died to themselves. The old person that they once were, the old man or the old woman that they once were, all the old tastes, all the old passions have gone. And there is a new creature in its place, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we trust in the Lord, well, we take up the cross even in salvation. And there are many New Testament scriptures and verses that speak of this. Galatians 2 verse 20, for example, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I myself, you know, there is a sense in which when we are saved, we don't just believe in Christ's death on the cross. We ourselves have an experience of Christ's death on the cross. And it's in this sense, as I've already mentioned, the old man dies, is put to death. You're no longer the person that you once were. Yes, we believe in Christ dying on the cross, but we, in a sense, have shared in that experience. I am crucified with Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said, because he knew that the old Paul, Saul of Tarsus, had gone. I am crucified with Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We have died to self. That's a great part of what it means to take up the cross. The old person that we once were has died. And that, of course, is the ultimate self-denial. We are new creatures, and we do not feed the old nature. We take up the cross and follow me. Well, of course, taking up the cross also means that we are like Christ. Christ would take up the cross not too long after these words, and he would be mocked, he would be beaten, he would be spat upon, he would be persecuted, he would be rejected. He would take up his cross. And so when we take up our cross, we are following him. We are being like Christ when we take up the cross. We too, we are going to be mocked because of our faith. We too, we are going to be persecuted. We too are going to be rejected by men. If the world hate Christ, the world will hate us too. That's part of what it means to take up the cross. We will be like Christ. We are followers of Christ. He was rejected. He was despised. We face that. We know that. We understand that. And we do it willingly. Christ, when he took up the cross, he did it willingly. He wasn't forced to against his will, under duress. Christ took up the cross willingly, out of love for his people. We too, we take up the cross willingly. We are glad to do it because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, this is very challenging. Of course, when I say all of this, it's only by God's power, by God's grace, that we are able to take up the cross. We are not able to take up the cross and to deny ourselves because we are strong people, because we're better than everybody else who can't do it. That's got nothing to do with it. We receive the grace of God. It's God who helps us. It's God who changes us from those who would never take up the cross and turns us into those who will willingly take up the cross. This is God's grace. We are not naturally good people, but the Lord has changed us and worked in us. And so we give God all the glory, and we pray to the Lord for more grace to take up our cross daily. But this is what it means. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, the one who loses his life for my sake, the one who loses his life for Christ, will actually save his life. The man who dies to himself, the man who repents, the man who denies his passions and his lusts, he will be greatly rewarded, in other words. He that loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Thomas Watson wrote something very beautiful on this theme. He wrote, whatever you deny for Christ, you shall find again in Christ. Whatever you deny for Christ, you shall find again in Christ. So, for example, if you deny yourself the world's riches, you will find in Christ greater riches, the riches of his grace. There is recompense of reward. If you deny yourself the world's pleasures, you will find greater joy in Christ. It's not as though we're denying ourselves and not receiving anything. When we deny ourselves, when we lose our lives for Christ, we actually gain something. We save our lives. If we deny ourselves earthly ease and earthly comfort, you will find greater rest in Christ, greater rest for your conscience, greater assurance of his love and of his blessing. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He that loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And of course, it speaks about the salvation of the soul. The Christian has salvation of the soul. There would be many Christians who would lose their physical lives, who would lose their actual lives because of their profession of faith, because they follow Christ. The disciples, for example, all the disciples would lose their lives because they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But their souls were saved. Their souls were safe because they've given everything else up for Christ. They've actually saved their souls. That's what it means. Whosoever shall lose his life, the same shall save it. Yes, they may die mortally, but their souls are safe in Christ. But it's very different for the unbeliever. Look at the unbeliever, the one who does not believe in Christ. Whosoever will save his life, verse 35, shall lose it. In other words, the one who saves his life for himself, the one who keeps his life for himself, I'm not going to give my life to God, says an unbeliever. I'm not going to give my life to God. I'm going to save my life for myself. I'm going to keep my life for me, and I'm going to live for myself, live for the world. That's much better. That's saving my life. I'm not going to be a Christian and get persecuted and all that. I'm going to save my life. Well, what does the Lord say about those who save their lives? Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You actually lose your life. In fact, well, if you reject Christ, you don't ever have true life. True life is in Christ. Abundant life, that's what Christ gives. You don't have that if you don't know the Lord. You don't have spiritual life. That's what it is to truly live, not just physical life, but spiritual life. You don't have that if you don't have Christ. You've lost something. If you want to keep your life for yourself, you've actually lost something. You've lost spiritual life. You've lost abundant life. And it's true to say, actually, that every day that you live, every day that an unbeliever lives, you are losing life. You're losing life. Every day an unbeliever lives, he's a day closer to death. He's losing life. He's a day closer to a lost eternity. The Christian is the opposite. The true believer is the opposite. Every day that he lives, he gets closer to life. True life, to the fullest expression of life. Everlasting life. Every day he lives, he's getting closer to heaven. So he's getting closer to life. But the unbeliever, well, is the opposite. He ages outwardly. He ages inwardly. And we read the Apostle Paul again wrote this, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The Christian may grow older, the outward man, the body, will perish, but the inward man, the soul, is being renewed day by day. Day by day, it's as though we are getting more life from the Holy Spirit, more life from God. But the unbeliever, well, he's just aging and he will eventually die. And when he dies, of course, well, he loses his soul. The unbeliever, he will lose his soul. Look at the rest of the chapter. Verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, you can reject Christ, you can be an unbeliever, and you can still do very well in this world. You can be very rich, you can be very successful without God, without Christ. But what this verse is teaching us, but what profit is it really? What profit is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul for all eternity? You lose your soul, you lose it for all eternity. You can be very rich in this world just for a very short time. A very short time. Your life is very short. What is that compared to a lost eternity for your soul? That's what the Lord is saying. He's urging us to see the contrast. Being rich for a short time, but losing your soul eternally. These words also express to us the value of a soul. Verse 36, it expresses the value. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What that is really saying is that your soul is worth more than all the riches of the world. That's really how we can read it. Your soul is worth more than all the riches of this world. What an amazing thought. You have something. Everybody has a soul, every single one of us. And your soul in your body is more precious, more valuable than everything in this entire world. That's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much we ought to guard our souls. Our souls are so valuable. If we are believers, do we know how valuable our souls are? Do we guard our souls? If there is something valuable in your homes, in your houses, think of the most valuable thing in your house. You guard it very carefully. You make sure there's no damage done to it. You're very scrupulously careful about it. Well, how about your soul? Do you sin lightly? Do you do things that injure your soul without even thinking about it? Your soul is so precious. It's precious than all the riches of the world put together. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The soul is so precious What a tragedy to lose it. And then verse 37, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, nothing in this world can save your soul. Not your riches, not your material possessions, not your property. There's nothing you can give in exchange for your soul from this world. There's only one thing that can save your soul. That is the blood of Christ. To save a precious soul, you have to have something precious. The precious blood of Christ, that's the only thing that can save your soul. Not something corruptible, not something such as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ. That's the only thing that can redeem us. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The soul can only be redeemed by Christ. And so we need him. And these words, well, they're very important for us to understand, especially if we are without the Lord. But verse 38, just as we begin to draw to conclusion, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me. Well, sadly, there are many who turn away from Christ because they are ashamed. They're ashamed. What will my friends think if I turn to the Lord, if I become a Christian? I don't want to tell everyone that I'm a Christian. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. Or perhaps you're too proud to humble yourself, too proud to repent. You're ashamed at the thought of repentance. Well, if you have that shame now in this world, you will be ashamed when the Son of Man comes. Christ will return. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. If you're ashamed to bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be ashamed when he returns. You'll be ashamed when you stand before the holy God. You'll be ashamed of your sin. God knows all about your sins, everything you've done, everything you said. You were too ashamed to come to Christ, to name him. Now you are ashamed of your sin. Your sin that is naked and open in the sight of the living God. And you'll be ashamed that you rejected Christ. We spoke about this a little this morning. To reject Christ, that's a shameful thing. To know that Christ has died, shed his blood for you. Christ, who is the sinless Son of God, never did anything wrong, went to the cross for you, for your sin. You know that. You hear it every week, but you reject it. You turn to your own way. You don't want to be embarrassed by Christ. That's a shameful thing. That's so shameful to do that to God, to Christ, to your Creator. You'll be ashamed that you rejected Christ. That will be part of your shame when Christ appears. Don't let that be you. Don't let it be the case that when Christ comes, that will be your state and your situation. Don't be ashamed of Christ. A Christian is never ashamed of Christ, never ashamed of the gospel. You often hear people, especially nowadays, they say they're ashamed to be English or British, or ashamed to be American or something like that. A Christian is never ashamed to be a Christian. Never ashamed, because we know the Lord, we know what he has done for us, and he himself He bore shame for us. But look at how he returns. When he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Christ, the first time he came, he had to endure shame and persecution. He had to lose his life. He had to lay down his life. He didn't save his life. He laid down his life. But look how he returns. The cross has led to the crown. When he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That will be a glorious day. And dear friends, we will share in that glory. When Christ returns, we will share in that glory. And this is a glory, the glory that we will have when Christ returns, this is a glory that far outstrips any earthly glory. So you could have the whole world in your possession. You think of rich men, you think of Bill Gates, for example. You think of powerful, influential men, and everyone marvels and esteems them and admires them, and they have a form of glory. But their glory is nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us at the very end of time. That glory is absolutely nothing. The weakest saint, the weakest believer, shall one day be more glorious than the richest man who has ever lived on earth. That is the truth. That is our reality, our glorious reality. But we must take up the cross. We must deny ourselves in the days that remain until the Lord returns. This is what we are called to do. Take up the cross so that we may receive the crown. And so we must do it. May the Lord help us. You know, Satan will tempt us very sorely in this respect. Just as Satan did not want the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross, do anything else but go to the cross. Don't do that. Well, in the same way, Satan always tries to stop us from sacrificing, from denying ourselves for the Lord. Satan will always say to us, yes, you're a believer, yes, you have faith, but don't put yourself out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't deny yourself, that's too extreme. Don't sacrifice yourself. Satan hates that. Just be a lukewarm believer. Just do the basics and that's it. That's what Satan wants us to do. He didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross. He doesn't want us denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him. But that's our witness. That's a glorious witness of a true follower of Christ. Our witness will be spoiled if we do not do what the Lord has commanded us, and we will lose out. We'll lose out on so much blessing. If we seek to save our lives and preserve ourselves, we actually lose out on the blessing that we would otherwise know from the Lord Jesus Christ and from walking with him. But this is what we are called to do. This is the sign of faith, true faith. And we must endeavor to deny ourselves. Our prayer daily, my prayer most certainly daily, is that every day I will be less like myself. Less like myself and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking up my cross and following him. Well, may the Lord help us in all of these things.